This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar, liver, the barrels, and the dills. Indeed, second to none. Stock up for your Penn State tailgate. Stock up for a weekend of football starting on Friday night. In case you want a little football Brazilian style. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, kids of all ages, it is time now for Tuesdays with Neil. Mr. Coulong, welcome.
You bet. As always, it's great to be here. I hope you guys are doing well on this post-holiday Tuesday.
Yes, exactly. So let's get to the Arthur Smith Bowl. And right out of the gate, he gets to face a defense he knows very well. And the Steelers have the Falcons. Your thoughts on the Arthur Smith Bowl?
It's a great marketing ploy. I know that. I don't know how much love there was left for Arthur Smith in Atlanta. You didn't get a sense that the players were really behind him, and the job may have been, I don't want to say too much, but I'm not there with them. I don't know exactly how they would have taken to what he was trying to do or what he was teaching them. But what I know is it seemed to be a train wreck offensively. I always thought it was interesting that he went from one train wreck to another with the hopes of, revitalizing the one now in Pittsburgh. But maybe this group fits better with the things that he was trying to do, but nobody was really sure what he was trying to do in Atlanta. So maybe the game passed him by. Maybe the things that he was trying to do aren't going to be as successful as the success that he had in Tennessee. But I do think Atlanta as a whole probably is not real big on anything Arthur Smith related. And I think I would think the veteran players who were on that defense would be about ready to, want to make a play or two and let Smith know about it. So more the concern that I would have with Atlanta is what they've done offensively to build themselves back up. I think Kirk Cousins is a very solid NFL quarterback. I understand he's not the most popular, not the chart-topping type of guy, but the bottom line is he's far better than anybody that Pittsburgh has had over the last couple of years, and he's a lot better than what Arthur Smith had in Atlanta. And Arthur Smith doesn't have the benefit, again, of having the better of the two quarterbacks in this game. So he's going to have to figure out a way to put up points against a defense that would love to shut him down in many ways, the way that players and fans thought he shut Atlanta down last year, and have to compete, I think, step for step with Cousins and what they're going to be able to do offensively now, with maybe a system that's a little bit better fit for the personnel that they have. So it's a tough opening game for the Steelers, and to throw the new offensive coordinator against his former team, going from one bad offense to another. A lot of eyeballs are going to be on this one. I'm not getting a great feeling about it, but we'll see. Obviously, it's week one. You never quite know what the team is in week one. You don't really have a good sense of that in the NFL until week two or three nowadays anyway. So maybe there's something there, but I don't know. I just get the sense this is going to be a slow starting year for the Steelers offensively yet again. I have faith in their ability to put things together as the year goes, but they're going to need reps. You know, they lost Isaac Siamalu for a couple games, it sounds like. That's three starters on the Steelers' offensive line making their first NFL start. Two of them are rookies. One of them didn't play at all last year. So I don't know. This is tough. Smith's got a pretty big assignment in front of him, and this isn't even going to be the biggest assignment he faces this year. So you hope he's got something on them that on the Falcons that will work, but I don't know. It's going to be a tough one, I think.
On the Steeler defense, going in, what's your impression as to what you think you're going to like? And also, what's your impression about the Steelers' defense where going in you think you might not like?
You always like their ability to get off the edge and make plays, and a lot of that is set up on their ability inside to create chaos. They fill gaps. Typically, they fill gaps well. They can occupy blockers that help fill in their edge, and with that, depending on how much wear and tear TJ Watt has, I think is a concern. Not that we have any particular reason to think that, but the guy has played, you know, pretty much every snap he's been able to play for the last, what it feels like, 10 years now. He's going to have to slow down eventually. I've had this conversation with a bunch of people, and this is why I feel in a field of multiple worthy recipients of the NFL Defensive Player of the Year last year, TJ Watt probably would have been my vote because of the amount of times the Steelers would put him at the wide nine technique, so well outside of a tight end. And have him be able to make up that ground and get to the quarterback and disrupt the play. Basically, it forces an offense to have to stretch out if you want to put a body on him. And Tomlin and defensive coordinator Terrell Austin had no problem betting on Watt in that situation. He's had to run a long way. He's had to blast off the line. All these things wear your body down over time. I'm not saying it's an immediate thing, but if he loses even a microsecond off of his burst, his ability to get off the ball and to get upfield the way he does, they're not going to be effective doing that. And that's a huge part of why their defense has been successful over the last couple of years. So if Watt can continue to do that, that's going to their pass rush obviously is predicated off of that. He's maybe the best pass rusher in the game over the last 5 years. You will see some great things out of that. You'll see him play some great defensive football, and they can scheme advantages because of his presence. And Alex Highsmith is a very good player as well. He's developed kind of a craftiness to him. He's got an array of pass rushing moves now. Obviously not the athlete that Watt is, but he can land. He can get to the quarterback. If they're able to occupy the A and the B gap, their pass rush will again be higher level in comparison to the rest of the NFL. And I think that's something we talk about but don't really fully explore. You know, the talent that they have there, that now they're building again. Keanu Benton playing along with a veteran like Cam Hayward, that's going to create better things. They've gotten a lot more athletic in their inside linebackers now. Patrick Queen is definitely a step up over what they had last year. It's unfortunate that they didn't, you know, quite get to play with everything that they had last year, but Queen will be a very solid player for them, if not a spectacular one. That's going to be fun to watch. Down part, you know, I'll add Joey Porter in there another season, kind of learning his position, learning his craft. Maybe the refs put the flags away for him a little bit. He can get away with a little bit more, which would definitely help the team. I think he led the NFL, led cornerbacks to the NFL with penalties last season. If he can tone that down to a pretty good amount this season, you're going to see one of the better cornerbacks in the league. That'll be fun to watch. What they're doing elsewhere, I think, is a problem. But you put all that together, it seems like, you know, a lesser important problem. They've got a lot of good pieces defensively. They'll have good safety play. Minkah Fitzpatrick is playing 17 games. Their entire defense will be in line. They'll be able to make plays on the ball, both in the deep secondary as well as around the line of scrimmage. And they should be able to impact what's probably going to be a pretty mediocre offense. They can get away with a little bit more offensively, knowing their defense is pretty stand-up and explosive. They can make plays on the ball when it's in the air and when the quarterback has it. So that's really what a modern defense today is. I think they have that ability. That's certainly what they've built their team to do this year. It should be a good unit. I think they'll be a solid defensive team yet again. A lot of it, and perhaps an uncomfortable amount for today's NFL, though, is going to have to rest on their ability to play defense offensively. They're going to have to get to the ball, take the ball away, and sack the quarterback. If they can't do that, they're going to struggle with this offense.
So now let's flip it to the other side. Same question. Something that going in you're not so sure you like, and some stuff that, you know, you think going in you're going to like.
I thought I was going to like the offensive line, and I still want to. Siamalu's absence, though, is going to be noticeable pretty quickly. I felt he was one of the more underrated players in the league last year, played very well at times. Not somebody they're just going to be able to replace. I would assume it's Spencer Anderson that's going to get the nod there. You're going to take a step down, and that's playing alongside Dan Moore at left tackle, who's, I assume is going to win the left tackle job after camp, which I think is a bit of an upset. I don't know if this was the ideal situation for the Steelers to not have either Broderick Jones or Troy Fitanu playing left tackle, and if not having both of them starting, not the situation we would have expected. So if we're framing this question back in like March, April, May, I would have thought the offensive line would have been a little bit more, a point of excitement. You know, you could get behind them, but at the same time, I do feel you'll have a boost of athleticism within that group. It's something that Arthur Smith can plan around to have that ability to play the short game, play quick game with athletic linemen that can shoot off the line, get the blocks at the second level. They have a group that can do that. So I feel like we can see explosive plays on higher percentage passes than perhaps we've seen the last couple of years from a team that struggled to do that. They didn't play RPO as well as we thought they would. They didn't play quick game as well as we thought they would. They did a lot of it. They just didn't really explode. You know, this one of the worst explosive offenses in the game over the last couple of years. I'm not blaming the offensive line for that, but I do think they have the athleticism up front to set stuff up for guys that they can maybe take a 2-yard gain and turn it into 7 or 8. You do that a couple times on a drive, that's points instead of a punt. That's a touchdown instead of a field goal. So that part, I think there is some room for optimism. I'm just not sure how well that's going to click now without Siamalu. The biggest point of contention for me has been and will continue to be the wide receiver position. Now, it's going to go down in Yinzer lore forever. Mm-hmm. Did they actively plan, not just hope for, but plan to get Brandon Ayuk? Now that that's not happening, there's a Brandon Ayuk-sized hole in their salary cap.
Yep.
They have draft picks. They have a lot of good young talent coming in. They traded Deontay Johnson away for, at best, a mediocre cornerback who's going to start for them, and nothing else, really. The move seemed to suggest we're removing ourselves from Deontay Johnson, because we're going to find somebody that's worth more of the money that we have to pay receivers nowadays. They're not paying anybody that. If you're going to try to sell me on Van Jefferson as a Deontay Johnson replacement, I'm not buying it. Everything looks like they really actively wanted to find a 1A type of receiver. And whether they didn't go hard enough or whatever reason, it didn't happen. And they don't have it. So this is a receivers league. You know, teams have two, if not three, guys that can produce. We're not sure if the Steelers have one. So that's going to be a problem. You can't tell me otherwise, and you can't tell me that as much as I enjoy Darnell Washington, if he's your second tight end, he's not a guy that's getting four targets a game. Pat Freiermuth is going to have to get six, seven targets a game. Does that make your offense better? George Pickens doesn't play a position in which he's gotten seven, eight targets a game. Are they going to force that to him, or is this a team that's going to give 12 receivers four targets a game? That might be the case. I'm not sure if that is Arthur Smith's plan, if that's what they've always intended to do. It just doesn't seem like it to me. So I think they're left without a receiver. Maybe they're not quite done yet. But I have been saying the entire offseason at some point they're going to bring another one in, but they never did. So I don't know what production they expect to get from the receiver group that's in Pittsburgh. Between your wide receivers, your tight ends, and your running backs, there's some explosive playmaking ability in there, but every team in the league has what the Steelers have. So I don't know if they're difference makers at that position. And I don't think offenses move all that well if you don't have explosive playmakers anymore. So I think they're going to struggle for that. I think they're going to have to play completion ball again. I think they're going to have to play possession ball. And I don't know how well that works in today's NFL. You're asking a lot of your defense, but it seems like that's what they're gearing up to do this year.
Yeah, I saw Pat Freiermuth, in fact, was at the Penn State-West Virginia game on Saturday on the sideline. I know this is ground we have covered before, but I wanted to at least revisit it because it fits the moment, and that's the Brazil game coming up on Friday. And your thought on the NFL playing so many games now out of the country. And my point's always been, and it's the fans of this country that built it.
I think overall, I see why they're doing it. And I think there's a level at the surface that is kind of like, I don't really care. It doesn't make too big of a difference. I can't help but feel with these operations, there's always a step away from, you know, a real negative PR situation. Don't ask me why, but what flashed in my mind this week thinking about it was a game I covered at the Edward Jones Dome, yeah. Rams and Steelers back in 2015. Mm-hmm. A pregame thing went off, and something happened with the pyrotechnics that they, like, melted a section of the field, and there was, like, a half-an-hour-long delay on it. If you've got the attention of a one-game night, and you're bumping high school games to the side for this, keep that in mind. You're looking to recruit South America, but you're making sure high school fans across the state have to choose between watching this game or you know, watching the local product. I don't know how good of an idea that is, but the point being, it primetime audience, something like that happens, it's a negative thing simply because mm-hmm. it gives fodder to people that want to go out and make jokes. It doesn't make your product look very good. And even if your operations people have taken care of all this in, you know, 100 different stadiums across the country, it's not the same thing. There's international issues going on within the country now, as it is, to a point where Twitter isn't allowed, or they're going to have to do a bunch of stuff to help add to the social media effort. It seems like an awfully expensive risk. I understand marketing. I get wanting to push into different areas. I don't know. I watched, you know, a bit of the pre-Olympic flag football competition. I'm not sure this is an international game. I don't. That's just me. I get nope. why they want to establish a future, and to do that, they've got to have an international footprint. They do to some extent. I think there are more connections in Europe than they are in South America. That's even more soccer dominated than Europe is. So I don't know. That's just me. I think they do well within the market that they have. They're going to continue to push it because, you know, I guess they want to go to all corners of the earth. There's no point in stopping expanding. Otherwise, they're out of jobs, right? It just seems more that that's the idea here, not
yep.
this is good for everything. That's just my useless two cents on the matter.
Nope, I'm with you. Again, I look at the fans of this country. You are who you are as an organization because of fans here. Why are you taking home games away from the people who built you? I mean, that's where they created the preseason. Use that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a marquee game, too. You know, those are popular teams, and it's early in the season. They're going to want to be a part of that. I think part of the justification is we add another game to the schedule. You're not technically necessarily losing a home game, but or only one team is at least. But I don't think they should take home games away from teams like that. And it, more than anything, is it can't be one game. This has got to be a commitment to several over the next couple of years. And back in the day, the whole thing was, you know, we're going to London because we're trying to leverage Los Angeles into building a stadium so we can move teams there instead of London. Well, that leverage is gone now. What are you going to do? You're going to put it in Sao Paulo? I mean, a team isn't moving there. What market do you expect to get on one game a year? That the American press is talking a lot like you and I are right now. I don't think that they're going to be real moved by this game that they don't understand, that doesn't make sense to them. It's not played at all like the game that they're used to watching. That's a significant investment, and I don't see that the juice is worth the squeeze in this particular instance, but I do think when you have a mandate to expand for expansion's sake, this is what you're going to do. And when I say expand, I don't mean move a team anywhere. I mean reach into a different market, a different audience. It's not as if Brazilians have not been able to watch NFL football. I think it's been available to them for however long. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to be all that interested in it, you know. And I think we'll see that come Friday with the local reaction to it all.
My friend, always a pleasure. Happy football season.
Absolutely. Happy football season to you guys as well. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Final half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Go to NILGameChangers.org. Yeah, I'm just not enamored with the idea of playing the game in Brazil. It's just me. Maybe you think it's great. I don't. I just think that you can't keep looking at the American fan and every time I turn around, it's like, yeah, we want to cultivate this, cultivate that. How about cultivating and keeping your own fans? I mean, that's the part that gets me. Why don't you cultivate and keep your own fans? Right? I don't know. Not crazy about it.
They're not afraid to try and make money anywhere they can at the expense of everything else.
No, that's right. No, I agree with that. I completely agree with that. And that is, for them, that's their bottom line is their bottom line, not yours.
I mean, we've talked about this before. I don't like them and some of the college conferences playing on Friday nights either, for the same reasons we've talked about before. You know,
right.
you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot with the grassroots part of the sport to make a little money now.
Right. Right. Exactly. I don't get it. You know, I sit there and I hear this. This is great. We're growing the game. Growing the game where? Where? I mean, how many season ticket holders are you going to get in Brazil? Are you going to get a few more TV sets? Yippee dippy do. I mean, it's like, so what? This is, to me, you're trying to cultivate the young fan in this country. Can I get the 18 to 34-year-old fan interested enough so that that person then becomes the 25 to 54-year-old fan? Right? I mean, that's what you should be doing, because this is your bread and butter. Where we're sitting right now is your bread and butter. And they act like it's oh, no. It's an extra game. Well, excuse me, you're telling me the people of Philadelphia don't, quote, deserve the extra game? I mean, there have been some years where they have paid for lousy football. I mean, there have been some years where the Eagles, I mean, and they paid for lousy football. Okay. And kept paying. Loyal. Kind of amazing, isn't it?
I don't know why the first name that popped into my head when you said that, but it was Bubby Brister.
Yeah, I know.
The year that after he had that run with the Steelers.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Barilla was your quarterback, Roman Gabriel. I mean, come on. And it's like, and these people kept paying. Franklin Field, then you play at the Vet. Like, yikes. Not exactly.
My dad and I once went to the Vet for an Eagles-Panthers game when it was the first game Kerry Collins ever started, and they booed some poor guy out of the 700 level because he was wearing a Penn State Kerry Collins jersey to an Eagles-Panthers game.
Well, there you go.
I'm like, I'm 16, and I know that's a poor choice, man.
Yeah, we're going down the highway on Saturday. It was about a 45-mile trip from Bridgeport up to Morgantown. So, of course, you got 5 buses, police got escort, the whole deal, right? And the this high-end SUV, very high-end SUV, goes by. And I'm in the very last row of the last bus, which is, by the way, where I want to be. I mean, you know, I pick the seat. Okay. But I'm in the very last row, and I watch this vehicle go by, and all of a sudden these people start leaning out of the vehicle, and they're flipping the bird, the double birds at the bus. And I thought to myself, you had enough money to buy the car, but evidently didn't have enough money left to buy class. And whenever I see that, one of two things happens on the bus. Either people chuckle at it, or they look at it and go, eh, whatever. Like, do you think you're having some effect on, oh my goodness, they hate us here. Oh, really? I didn't know. I made a bad guess on that one.
The team was riding up, and that whole way thought that West Virginia was going to cheer for them, and then that just turned the corner, right?
Well, that's why I tried to point this out about Philadelphia when they were talking about in the postseason about the intimidating crowd. Intimidating crowd. What do you think? The players out there going, oh, they're all going to come out here and get me? Now, that's intimidating. Or we have enough security here. It's no big deal. If I recall this, the Phillies lost the World Series on their field. Couldn't have been that intimidated. Right? It's the same thing with this. It's going to be an intimidating crowd. I'm sitting there like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know what crowds do? They lift up the home team. Now, do they make it more difficult to hear signals? Yes. So that's a big impact. But in terms of putting the fear of God into a team, you think they look around and go, oh, look at all these people. They don't like us. What do we do?
I bet Florida State wishes Boston College would have done that last night.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they didn't seem too intimidated. Look, teams are not intimidated. They just aren't. And I sit there and go, okay, I mean, as a fan, I don't get what you're trying to accomplish here. I'm talking about when you're being a jerk. I'm talking about when you're being like yelling and screaming at the top of your lungs before the ball is snapped. Absolutely. Okay? Team goes on a run in basketball. Oh, you lift them right up. Yeah. Okay? You know, hockey, the place explodes when you score a goal. I mean, it's just, there's nothing like it. You know, baseball, home run, you know, Scott yelling out it's bedlam at the bank. Awesome moments. But in terms of intimidating the opposing team, nah. Nope. If the team you're playing is a good team, they're not going to be intimidated by you. They don't care about you flipping birds as the buses pull in. They kind of, I mean, you're actually there. You're actually more amusing than you realize. Like, check that out. Okay, great. And most of the time, guess what? You're on ignore. You're on ignore. Yeah, I'll be looking out the window and go, yeah, you know, we're going by fraternities. I was just like looking at I haven't been there in 32 years. I'm just kind of looking up at the fraternities, looking at the countryside, all the people on the sidewalk. No. So, like I said, car passed and you're like going, okay, why are you wasting your time? I hate you. I didn't assume you loved us.
I mean, I'm assuming most of them are all in their own little world at that point.
Oh, the players? The players have on earbuds and are listening to music.
Yeah.
They're not even looking. They're not looking outside the bus. Jeez. Not looking outside the bus at all. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sitting in row five. I'm just like looking out at like the farms and everything like that. I look down. I go, you gotta be kidding me, really? Okay. I don't think so.
I was waiting for you to tell us it was somebody you recognized.
No, I didn't recognize him. No. No. It's what are you doing?
I was trying to think of a famous West Virginian, and the only thing that's coming to me, and I don't even think he's originally from West Virginia, is John Denver, so I don't think he was flipping you off.
Well, no. But there is a John Denver story on the game Saturday.
Yeah.
It's the fourth quarter. At this point, the vast majority of fans left in the stands are Penn State. You know, because Penn State fans weren't going to leave the game. They'd travel all this way to see it, so they kind of hung out during the delay. So Penn State's got the game well in hand, and they started singing Country Roads. Right? And they got maybe 40, 45 seconds into it. Jack and I are laughing. Right? Because we're in a commercial break, and the two of us started, says, check that out.
Right.
And West Virginia panicked when they heard it, and they started playing over the loudspeaker system this rather loud, obnoxious rap song. Like, okay. Yay.
There's one thing Penn State fans know is country roads.
Right, no, they started singing Country Roads.
Well, they're not even the song. We know Country Roads around here, too, like they do.
It's part of the life here, part of the lifeblood. Yeah, it's like a country road. No, let's go the sophisticated way, 45. No, not really.
It does have double yellow lines and not the little yellow chunks to split the little middle of the road like country roads do, at least.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's, I was, the game did what I thought. Just one quick note, like stats. This has been my biggest issue in the last few years of scouting across the board. I really, really believe you need to see things in person instead of just looking at numbers. Too many people are enamored with numbers. Way too enamored with numbers. They tell some of the story. But like, take Catron Allen. I explained the Fleming thing early in the show, right? What he did to help them win. And Allen did not have great rushing numbers. But he did come out of the backfield, circle, make the catch at the 10, and get the 20-yard touchdown pass. Great. His blitz pickup, as I mentioned with Rich, was just outstanding. It was outstanding. He helped them win plays and win the game. Now, did his rushing stats stack up? There'll be days where his rushing stats are going to look phenomenal because Catron Allen is a really, really good running back. But, I mean, that's one of those you have to watch the game. That's always been my running joke with talk show hosts. I'll be asked a question. I'll say, do you watch the games? No. Didn't think so. Because you can't do that. Like, I didn't watch any of the Clemson-Georgia game at all, for obvious reasons. I did see some of the overtime of Virginia Tech-Vanderbilt, because that was during the delay. Like, okay, that was during the delay. So I saw a little bit of the overtime. That's a hard loss for Virginia Tech.
Did you see during the week they asked Brent Pry about the Vanderbilt quarterback, and he compared him to Trace McSorley, and somehow the Vanderbilt quarterback turned that into, he called him a poor man's Trace Sorley and said that motivated him.
Oh boy.
He said nothing of the sort. It was like somebody said, I give compliments to the Vanderbilt assistant coach that turned that quote into that.
Yeah. This is the kid who transferred from New Mexico State, right?
Correct. And Jerry Kill is an offensive assistant for him too, Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hmm. Well, that's one. It's not the be-all, end-all of the season, but you wanted to win the opener. You wanted to do it on the road. You wanted to do it in that fashion. So they checked all those boxes for week one. And they did. Now, test of maturity coming up. You're the prohibitive favorite coming up on Saturday. Go out and get it done. All right. Wrap it up in a moment. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
You don't want to be a Florida State spot, which is not just 0-2, but they're 0-2 in the conference. I mean, there are a couple of pathways to get to the college football playoff. One's the at-large bid for obvious reasons. The other one is being a conference champion. Well, you got to get to the conference championship game to make that happen. And right now, they're 0-2, and the ACC is a conference. Happens to be one that has 8 conference games and not 9 like the Big Ten or the Big 12. So they're the number of games that they have to make this up has dwindled. They've already played a quarter of their conference schedule. So their pathway, they're one more loss away, and there are opportunities to lose out there. Even be considered for an at-large bid, which is a long shot right now. But that is, I mean, it wasn't just another loss. It was a conference loss. For example, LSU lost, but it wasn't an SEC loss. Clemson got blown out in the second half. It was 6-0 at halftime by Georgia, but it was a non-conference game.
It doesn't appear much that, you know, Florida State doesn't look good in losing either. I mean, they look like they have some serious problems right now.
Right. No. They definitely look like they have some serious problems.
Is that Cam Ward decision, just from 2 games of DJ, just seems like it really might have really torpedoed their season.
DJ is an interesting player. Because he came out as one of the more highly regarded quarterbacks in the country, and some had him as the most regarded quarterback in the country. And he's been good. Anybody who sits there said, he's terrible. No, he's been good, but he hasn't even remotely been great. In fact, he hasn't even been remotely excellent. There are times where he's been very good, most of the time good, sometimes mediocre. He just, he's never been able to, quote, master this level of football. The speed of it, judging his running ability versus his ability to throw it. At Clemson, struggled, was good, but not great. Following Trevor Lawrence doesn't help you. But then he goes to Oregon State, and I saw him play a couple games at Oregon State last year on TV, and he was good. He wasn't great, but he was good. And then he does this Florida State thing. But you know what? I go back to the end of last year with Florida State. Jordan Travis, who, by the way, they wanted to run out of town 2 years ago in Tallahassee.
Might get a statue now.
Yeah. Well, with him at quarterback last year, wow. But look what happened to them after he got hurt. They hung in and won a couple of games late, but they didn't even remotely look the same. They didn't. Then, of course, the bowl game was a fiasco. But they barely got by in the games after he got hurt. Well, what are they now? They don't have the same personnel as last year.
No, and I think it's clear they don't have the same leadership.
No.